This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Chris Eliopoulos and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. I am your host, Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is the Dean of Disney, Mike Scopa. Welcome back, Michael.
Happy October, Christopher.
Oh, dear. I don't like this month.
Oh, dear. Because it's a transition month, or
I'm not a fan of fall. I'd rather go right to the holidays. Right, go like give me Thanksgiving on. I'm not a fan of dressing up for Halloween, and any of that stuff. So, and then it's like it's rainy and cold, and the leaves fall and it's slippery. It's just awful. But
yeah, it's a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah. I will say just a quick upfront. I mentioned to you while I was out shopping, I found. I don't know if our listeners know this, but there's a Dole Whip has put out, or Dole has put a Dole Whip out in the supermarkets. So I picked it up. What did I pick up this past week? And then I actually tried one, and it recommends that you let it sit for like 5 or 10 minutes and soften up a little bit. It is really hard. I will say it tastes. It gives you the taste of a Dole Whip. There's something a little off about it. It's not exactly as good as the original, and it's frozen, so it doesn't have that soft flavor. Right. No matter how long you let it sit, I was sitting there for like 15 minutes waiting for it to soften up. I even took it outside and put it in the sun, and it didn't really soften as fast. But if you're jonesing for that flavor, Mike, I would recommend looking in your local freezer section of your supermarket.
Well, you know what could have been missing? Maybe it didn't taste the same as a Dole Whip that you would get in, let's say, the Magic Kingdom, because right. You didn't have to pay an arm and a leg for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, they come in 4 little cups. They're very small. It's not like a full serving that you would get at the parks.
Right.
But like I said, you know, if you've been away from the parks for a long time and you're missing that flavor, it might be a good way to take you back.
I'll have to look for it.
Yeah. So, all right. So, you got some news from the
park? Yeah, you know, every week I think, oh, gee, am I going to have anything that's, am I going to have more than one or two things to talk about that's new or news or whatever? And sure enough, every week something pops up and we've got a few things to talk about. The thing that I was really excited about is that I found out what the new Epcot fireworks show is going to be called. It's going to be called Luminous, the Symphony of Us.
Oh, so, dear. Why is it always so long? It's just give us a, you know.
Yeah, I know. I guess it's going to be a mishmash of some of the Disney legacy songs that we've come to love over the last several years. And by the way, they are already doing things in the World Showcase Lagoon with the coming of this show, they've got a brand new barge that they are bringing out into the lagoon, and they have been bringing it out like in the last couple of days or so. It's a large barge that will be removed after the show. It won't be there all day long like the Harmonious barges were. So it's one large barge, and there are going to be 12
large,
smaller,
large barge.
Yeah, large, large barge. There's going to be 12 smaller barges around the World Showcase Lagoon. So it should be interesting to see what kind of effects we'll be seeing with this new show, which I believe is starting December 5th. So it's that's pretty fast compared to, you know, they took out Harmonious a few months ago and bang, they're ready for this new one. So I thought that was a new bit of information that everyone would be curious. They're also, I also wanted to mention that, you know, there are two fireworks dining packages for the Epcot shows. And right now it's Epcot Forever. And of course, starting in early December, it's going to be Luminous and Symphony of Us. And these two dining packages, one is at Rose and Crown, and the other one is at Spice Road Table. Michelle and I have experienced the dining package at Spice Road Table, and it's a thumbs up.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that.
Nice.
Let's see. So that is the first bit of information I wanted to mention. The those dining packages are, I think they're $79 for a Spice Row table and $89 for Rose and Crown, and that includes unlimited liquid refreshments, and I think it's a 3-course meal. So I think it's a good deal.
Adult beverages or just regular?
Adult.
All right.
And regular. Okay. All right. So there was some announcement that there's some new effects that have been started at the Muppet Vision 3D. Michelle seems to think that they were already there when we watched it in August. I don't remember, but she's more observant than I am, so I'm going to go with her word. But anyways, it's the part of the movie where Waldo bursts and all these little Waldos are all over the place.
Right.
The new effects have those images on the sides of the theater as well. But I thought they may have been there before, but they're now saying, hey, you know, we've got these new image effects. So next time anyone out there goes to Muppet Vision 3D, look for those images. What is good news is that besides the trams being returning to all the parks, and I'll tell you, the park that really needed it the most is Disney Hollywood Studios, because that parking lot now goes on forever and ever and ever. Anyways, those have been returned a few weeks ago. And also returning, thank God, are the watercrafts that are used for guests that are going from Wilderness Lodge and the Contemporary Resort to Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground. They are back. Prior to that, you had to either take a bus or drive over if you were staying at, let's say, Bay Lake Towers or whatever. So that's pretty cool. I'm happy for that.
Back up and running.
Yeah. So let's see. They, as a matter of fact, I believe that began this week. So they're up and running this week. It's something really interesting that, I mean, it says a lot about how involved attractions are becoming. Do you remember we used to have special hours, magic hours, like early before the rest of the guests could get in if you were an annual pass holder, if you were staying on the property.
Right.
And you also have extra magic evening hours.
Yep.
Well, they are going to bring back what they call extended evening hours at Disney's Hollywood Studios for about five nights this fall. And I think we've already had one. I think the first one was Saturday, September 30th. But here's the weird thing, Chris. Not all the attractions are going to be available. The one attraction that I think they should have made available was Rise of the Resistance, but that's unavailable on those nights. So it was just interesting that, you know.
So what's the point?
Yeah, I don't know. There were some things that I just don't understand. And one of the things I don't understand is that, they're offering new bonus park reservations for annual pass holders during the rest of October. And what that means is that if you are an annual pass holder, you can book up to 5 days in park reservations. If you're not on the property, obviously, if you're on the property, it's a different story. But here's the strange thing. It started on April 18th, and you know, because you know, you have to plan everything, and you have to coordinate what park am I going to be in? Am I going to go to this restaurant? You have to deal with park reservations. We found out that. And this is kind of crazy. If you are an annual pass holder, you can visit a theme park, any theme park after 2 o'clock without having made a reservation for earlier in the day. In the past, if you wanted to go to Epcot at 2 o'clock, then you had to either make a reservation for Epcot in the morning or some other theme park. And then after 2 o'clock, you go to Epcot. Now, as an annual pass holder, you don't have to do that. I don't have to book any morning parks. I can go to any park after 2 o'clock, except on Saturdays and Sundays, I cannot go to the Magic Kingdom.
Oh.
Annual pass holders are not allowed to go to the Magic Kingdom after 2 o'clock on Saturdays and Sundays. Obviously, if you make park reservations for the Magic Kingdom in the morning, you can go. But I don't know what that means. Does that mean that they expect large crowds on Saturday and Sunday afternoons in the Magic Kingdom?
I wonder if they're just trying to keep out the locals who are going with their annual passes. You know, they go on the weekends, and so they're trying to disperse them a little bit.
I think that's a good point. Because it's more likely for a local to visit on the weekend than during the week when there's school and there's working. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. A lot of their stuff is always seems to be worrying about crowd control lately, especially like the reservation system about leaving at 2 o'clock. Now they're denying annual pass holders after 2. It's all about making sure they have the right amount of cast members for the amount of guests that they have, and ensuring the amount of guests they have are, you know, limited in certain capacities. So.
I'd love to know what their metrics are, and how they reached.
Oh yeah,
these metrics.
And I'm sure they do all the number crunching constantly.
I think last week we talked about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party almost being sold out, except for November 1st. Well, guess what? November 1st is sold out. So there were people who actually paid $199 to go to Mickey's Not So Scary on November 1st, maybe figuring it would be not as crowded, but it sold out.
So, well, maybe they didn't book it in time and it's the only one available, so they fill it all in.
That's a lot of money.
Crazy. That's a lot.
And of course, the tickets for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party have gone on sale, and they've already started selling out a couple of dates. So anyone out there going down and would like to go to that party, better hurry up and make a reservation. Those prices range from $159 to $199 per person. So definitely look into that. And if you're an annual pass holder or DVC member, you may want to check those nights because you do get a discount. I think it's a $10 discount.
Do you think they're just at one point, like they're going to make the announcement that the prices have gone up slightly and they're just going to say an arm and a leg and leave it at that? Like, they've so broached such high numbers. I can't imagine. You know, I have a friend who just got back and her family, her husband, their three kids, and her mother. I can't imagine six people having to pay for a nightly event like this at $200 a pop. That's crazy.
Yeah. A family of four.
It's just insane. It's just a lot, but people are paying for it. Like I said, they're not going to stop raising prices until people push back and don't buy. So they're rewarded.
You know, as long as people keep going, those prices will keep going up. I'm going to finish the, news segment of our podcast with a little bit of information regarding Disney Plus for those who have Disney Plus. And if you have Disney Plus and you have enjoyed one of the shows called Behind the Scenes, season 2 is, I think it may be streaming already, or it's about to be streaming, where they're going to go inside attractions such as Pirates of the Caribbean, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, the Indiana Jones Adventure in Disneyland, places in Epcot. And they're going to talk about the food, and they're going to talk about nighttime spectaculars. So I think
some of my favorite shows, those behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think they're a lot of fun just to sort of get a plus for anybody. Like you said, I said about the Dole Whips. If you're looking for that flavor of the parks and stuff when you're not there, it's a great way to.
I just double checked my notes. All that new season begins Six episodes beginning on November 1st.
So November 1st. Okay, so we got a month.
Yep. So that's okay. That's cool.
Excellent.
All right. Looking that takes care of the news.
All right.
So
on to the big stuff, right?
Well, you know, I was thinking about when anyone goes to Disneyland or Walt Disney World, when I go, I'm always looking for something different to do. Sometimes you just want to take a day off or a couple hours off from waiting 30, 40, 50 minutes in line for an attraction or spending $30, $40, $50 for Lightning Lane access to an attraction. So I thought it would be nice to look into what could you do in places like the Magic Kingdom or any park that you may not know as a regular guest you could do. And it's just something that, especially if you have children, they would enjoy doing, looking for things. So I made a list of interesting things to do that are not necessarily what people would do. And I just thought I'd run them by you, Chris, and see if any of these would interest you.
Okay.
So we both are friends with Dr. Steve Barrett, who is Mr. Hidden Mickey. And I've spent a lot of fun times with Steve in restaurants, eating with him and his lovely wife, Vicky, walking through the parks. And he always points out Hidden Mickey's. Now, Hidden Mickey is three circles. The large circle would be Mickey's head, and two smaller circles above, touching the head, is his ears. And throughout Walt Disney World, there are images of this three-circled head of Mickey that is strewn throughout. Some of them are very, very hidden. Some of them are not. And I just thought I would make mention of that. And I'm sure that our audience has a number of people who have heard about Hidden Mickeys. But every once in a while, I'll just say, is there a Hidden Mickey on this display or on this wall or places like that? So I just throw that out there and say, you know, Hidden Mickeys there is still around. And every time there's a new attraction, I look for Hidden Mickey.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd mention that.
No, I used to love with the kids. We would get Steve's book and I would see, you know, where he said they're located. And I would sort of hint at the kids, especially when you're online in an attraction, when they're waiting. Even this was before, you know, the advent of cell phones. I would have my kids searching for the Hidden Mickey online or wherever it was. And so Steve's books were a godsend at that point. Nowadays you can just literally go online and find his website and literally get the whole list and stuff. But I used to love his books. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's always finding new ones. And I believe he goes every year. Was it December 6th? Is that Walt's birthday? And there's a special Hidden Mickey that shows up in the Little Mermaid attraction in Fantasyland. Something to do. It's going to be a sunny day, and it's like at 1 o'clock. A Hidden Mickey shows up.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere on the queue. That's pretty cool. Our friend Sam Genoway, who is an urban planner and has worked with Disney, has always said to me, "Never forget that." The Walt Disney Company is made up of people who are very much into making things appeal to your senses, auditory, visually, and also olfactory. And I remember Sam saying, you know, when you go into the Magic Kingdom or Disneyland, you hit the turnstile and you go underneath the train station. As you're coming out from under the train station, if you can imagine, it's almost like the curtain is going up.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get out, the ceiling goes higher and higher, and it's just like a curtain rising in a movie. And of course, the bright colors and everything are very, very much piquing your interest. And of course, you're hearing sounds and music. But what a lot of people don't realize is that there's another part of your senses that they try to appeal to, and that's your olfactory nerves. And there's a machine that they invented a long time ago called the Smellitizer. And I don't know how many people have heard about that, but the Smellitizer is a device that is put together, and it's made up primarily of fans and pressured air, and it has scents in it. And the whole idea is to give you a sense of well-being and also to spur you on for something. On Main Street USA in the Magic Kingdom, there is a certain point 2/3 of the way up where there is a vent, and I'm not sure exactly which building it is, but the Smellitizer is behind that vent, and it pumps out things like apple pie and all kinds of things that would make you want to eat. So that's one of, three places where the Smellitizer can be realized. Do you think, Chris, you could guess where the other two are in Walt Disney World?
Oh, wow. Let's think.
One is obvious. One is not obvious.
I was going to say, like, let's think. Where would they?
What has just returned in Epcot?
Oh, in other parks. I was thinking the Magic Kingdom. That's why you threw me for a loop. Yeah. What has returned? I don't know.
Soarin'.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. You always smell like the lemons or the citrus.
The orange
flavor.
Grows. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, isn't that technology, like when they do that 3D, 4D thing, like it's also in like the Muppets or something like that? Do they do any sense in Muppets, or they just do the water splurting at you? And
I think it's water. I don't recall any. Oh, wait a minute. There's another one. Oh, there's another one in the Magic Kingdom. Mickey's PhilharMagic.
Right.
With the apple pie from the Be Our Guest song.
Right.
There you go. That's another one. But that's not the one I was thinking about. There's one that very few people are aware of.
In Tough to Be a Bug?
No.
No. Don't they do that where they, it's like the poop beetles, whatever they're called.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. And also Imagination. My God, I forgot about those two. Imagination with the skunk.
Right.
The skunk smell. Yeah. Well, that's funny.
So much for just three. Yeah. We're already expanding.
And we still have one more that a lot of people don't know. And this is one of the reasons why I want to bring up a lot of these things, because I want our guests who are planning to go down in the next few weeks, few months, whatever, to look for these things.
Okay.
The other
or smell for these things.
A smell for these things. The other Smellitizer location is in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Is it?
Yes. And I'm not sure exactly where, but I think it's in the scene just before you get into the burning city. It's the smell of salt water and wood.
Oh.
I don't know how they achieve it. Yeah.
And wait, what about Spaceship Earth? Doesn't Spaceship Earth, when you go into...
there you go.
When the Roman Empire burns?
Right? So much for three.
I know. Yeah. What happened? We sort of added to the whole thing. But they're used everywhere now, huh?
Yeah. So there are things that, you know, I would like the guests, our listeners to think about, you know, checking salt it out water. When they go down there.
I didn't realize it was salt water and wood. I would have thought when the town was on fire, they'd do the same thing like they did in Spaceship Earth. But maybe it's not the burning.
They really make use of not just things to inspire you visually, but you know what you hear, what you see, and what you smell. So
they should do something. Like for pirates, they should do when that pirate's foot is hanging down as you're just going by towards the end, have it smell really, really bad,
like Dr. Scholl's.
Well, that would be fun. Wow. So there you go. You could take this and take your kids around and go find all the Smellitizers.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's probably some we missed. Mind is thinking about that. So, I mean, that's something that, you know, it's really an interesting thing to do.
Yeah.
On your way to an attraction, on your way from an attraction, whatever.
Yeah.
The other thing is that something that I really find fun to do. I did this one time, and And that is when you're walking up Main Street USA, if you take a look at the windows on Main Street, they are all tributes to some of the most famous Imagineers and employees who were very instrumental in creating the parks or whatever. And we've heard of so many people, and there are names that people are familiar with, but I would suggest, you know, maybe taking a walk up Main Street USA and look for Marty Sklar's window, or maybe even Walt Disney's window. I know where Walt Disney's window is, but I'm not going to tell you. I mean, do you know? If you know where it is, I wouldn't tell it either.
Yeah, no, don't. I mean, I was just thinking of, you know, like Mary Blair and all the different names of. It's funny when we did the I Am Walt Disney book. I mean, that was in my wheelhouse. I was like in heaven, but I threw Mary Blair in and Raleigh and Marty in there. So it was, and everybody's like, "Who are these people?" And I'm like, "How do you not know who these people are? They're like vital to the parks."
I don't know where Raleigh's window is. I'll have to look for it.
See, that's another one. Can I throw in an idea for the kids?
Sure.
So we loved going down to Disney Springs and go bowling. It's a fun time if you're kind of sick of the parks. Also, if you wanted, there's a movie theater right next door, and you could sort of do a twofer. You know, you go and see a movie, come out, do some bowling, because, you know, even the kids get bored of the parks after a little while.
Oh yeah.
So there's some, you know, there's a lot of things down at Disney Springs to do. But sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
That's a good thought. You know, it's not just, the windows on Main Street where there's tributes to employees and creators and Imagineers. There is another place in the Magic Kingdom. Seems like we're spending a lot of time in the Magic Kingdom, there's another place in the Magic Kingdom, except on Saturdays after and Sundays after 2 o'clock. There's, when you go to the Haunted Mansion, you have to go past some graveyards. Those tombstones have names on them from those who have been instrumental in the Haunted Mansion creation.
Right.
And so the next time you go to the Haunted Mansion, take a look at those tombstones, maybe read up a little bit about the Haunted Mansion, and you'll come across some names, and then you look for those names on the tombstones.
Interesting.
Later on, there's something else I want to mention about the graveyards at Haunted Mansion that I think everybody would be interested in.
Did I just read somewhere that they're going to be expanding the queue for Haunted Mansion? I thought I saw something fly by this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what those details are. Yeah. There's not that much room in Liberty Square in Walt Disney World. So I don't know exactly how they plan to do that. They obviously would be limited to the queue out in front, and they really can't move the actual building. So it'll be interesting to see they do.
I wonder if that's part of that whole expansion they were talking about, spending whatever $10 billion on an expansion, or if this is sort of part of that.
It could be. It's really, I mean, if they, that is a very popular attraction, and I can't see them doing a long, drawn out refurbishment.
They have to redirect the queue.
Yeah.
Because it is, it gets tight in there at certain points, and then the queue always extends out into Liberty Square and sometimes even over to the ferries. So, I mean, I guess they have to, with the amount of people coming through.
In keeping idea of having our listeners be on the lookout for things when they next go down to Walt Disney World, I want to mention a quote from Walt Disney, who said, regarding when Disneyland opened, he said, quote, "We're going to make it so clean that people are going to be embarrassed to throw anything on the ground." And so what was decided was that there would be a trash can every 30 feet to encourage guests to not throw stuff on the ground, but put it in the trash can. So I encourage our listeners, the next time they go into any Disney theme park, to just test it out. See if there's a trash can every 30 feet. Yeah.
I miss that, the one in Epcot, the one, the roving one, the one that would move around and be controlled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They had that one. They had the palm tree in one location.
Yeah, those are like hit and run. Sometimes those things will come back, like Muppet Labs.
Yeah, Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker coming through. That was fun. I wonder what happened to all those. They just stopped them.
Yeah. Well,
but the trash can was fun. You know, you just see the trash can going around, and then people would throw stuff into it as it's roaming around.
Yeah,
that's one way to get the guests to keep putting garbage in there, right?
And I used to love watching the kids talk to the trash can. I forget the name of the trash can, but that was fun.
Yeah.
There are many things.
They style
like
these things so differently. Each section of the park has a different trash can design. They're actually kind of fun to take a look at them.
There are lots of hidden gems in the Walt Disney World Resort and in each of the parks. One of the things that people don't know is that if you walk into the chapeau, which is right at the front end of Main Street USA, it's actually right near Tony's Town Square restaurant. You go in that store for hats, it's got all kinds of things in it. There's a phone on the wall, and you can pick up the phone and listen, and you can hear gossip.
Yeah, the town gossip.
Town gossip. But so that's a thing that, you know, people will see something like that. Oh, we can't touch that. But if it's still there, I would pick it up, listen to the gossip. So that's
it's also like the key under the mat at Muppet Vision. You can go right by the entrance. There's a mat. You lift it up and find the key. That's always fun. That was fun. My kids would always run in there and go right and take a look at the key. Even though they had seen it like 50 times, they had to still go in and first thing see it.
There is a story about Walt Disney coming home from the parks late at night, and he would get into his house, and he would be really tired, and he would call his dog. His dog wouldn't come over to him unless Walt went into the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And you know what he got? He got a hot dog. They called them weenies back then. Shaking the weenie, the dog would come over and, okay, Walt, for a little treat, I'll come over. So everyone talks about the weenie strategy that was developed in Disneyland, and it's still developed today. And the whole idea of the weenie strategy was to do whatever they could to keep guests moving when they approached, when they walked into a theme park. The weenie could be any structure that would attract guests and have them move towards that structure. This strategy also is combined with the strategy of having parks developed around like a spoke. So you've got Epcot, you've got Disney Hollywood Studios with the great movie ride building, or I guess you call it Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And the whole idea was to have people be intrigued by something that they could see and move towards it. By the same token, they did not want guests to be able to see outside the parks. So there are great efforts that were made to so that people would not see anything outside the parks. They wanted to keep people inside the parks. So the weenie strategy is even mentioned today whenever something is done to a park, and say, if we want to attract people to this part of the park, we need to do some type of weenie strategy. So it's something that is sort of a legend in Disney lore. Yeah. So just thought I'd mention that.
Do you remember they removed a weenie?
They removed a weenie.
They did. Do you remember which park and which one? Oh, tell me I'm going to stump you. This is the easiest one.
Was it the hat?
Yep.
In Disney Studios? Yeah.
Sorcerer's hat in Hollywood Studios. And it was like the symbol of them for a while. They got rid of the water tower as the symbol and made it the hat. And then they actually had in 2000, they added that Mickey hand with the wand next to it. And then they recently, a couple of years ago, pulled it all down. So you can look right up the street and see the theater straight in front of you.
We should do a show.
Now they do
Chris.
The stage, though. But
yeah, we should do a show sometime on things that were built in the theme parks that we never thought would be torn down, but they were torn down.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
That being one of them. Yeah,
you know, there are things that change, but even though things have changed, sometimes there's a tribute to what was there before.
Right.
And one thing that I'd like our listeners to look for is when they go on the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, I want them to look for Mr. Toad from Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Right.
If you go into that attraction and you go into the doors as you're going through Mr. Owl's house, if you can look to the left, you will see a portrait of Mr. Toad passing the deed of Toad Hall to Mr. Owl. That's a tribute to Mr. Toad. However, there's another tribute to Mr. Toad in the Magic Kingdom. Do you know where that would be? And it's not in Fantasyland. And it's not in Tomorrowland. And it's not in Adventureland. And it's not in Frontierland. So where would it be?
What's left?
And you walk by it all the time. Well, certain times when you're walking from a certain attraction.
Oh, from a certain.
Any guesses?
You basically named all of the. Is it over by? You said it's not in Fantasyland?
Not in Fantasyland.
It's not on Main Street, is it?
It's not on Main Street.
Wow. What's left? I'm visually in my head walking around the park trying to see where I would see it, but it's not in the castle or anything, is it?
No, it is in an area of the park which is not necessarily have the word land associated with it.
Is that Toontown area? That
that would be Disneyland, right? No.
No, I mean, well, what's the area in the back where like Dumbo is and.
Oh, that's Fantasyland.
It's still considered Fantasyland, even that like little area over there.
Yep.
So it's not. I don't know. Tell me.
Well, when you walk out of the Haunted Mansion, you walk past the Pet Cemetery, and there's a statue of Mr. Toad in the Pet Cemetery.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Yes.
I don't know. I think I know where it is. I may have seen it, but I forgot it. But that's another thing for people to look for.
Yeah, I got to look for it the next time I go.
Yeah. So there are, how much time do we have, Chris? Okay. That will make me talk about things a little bit faster. So I want to talk about Expedition Everest. This is something that some people may know, a lot of people may know, but it's always good to mention this. And that is that the Yeti audio animatronic in Expedition Everest is not performing the way it was intended to perform.
Right.
And that is because the audio animatron is so heavy that after the first month or two of operation, when it would slide down and the arm would go down and look like it was going to grab people off the roller coaster, the footings became loose. And they decided that they didn't want to take a chance on that thing really coming loose. So they stopped that attraction and they went to what they call Mode B with the audio animatron. And Mode B has strobe lights on the audio animatron and fans that blow the hair. So it looks like he's actually moving, but he's not. And in order for them to actually replace or fix him, they would have to cut a hole in the top of that building and use a huge helicopter to remove that audio animatron and maybe replace it with something else. But as long as that attraction is around, I think we're going to see mode B, they call it, where it's just strobe lights and fans on the head.
I mean, it goes by so fast. I remember.
Yeah, you hardly see it. Yeah.
I mean, I saw, I had noticed the difference before we found out that they had done this, but I'd seen it when it first opened and we got to see the full effect. And then I remember we went back and I'm like, something felt different. I mean, but it wasn't that, if you didn't ever experience it, you wouldn't notice it that much. So I didn't feel it was not such a bad thing. And you go by so quick, it's, you know, people get scared by it. They still scream at it when they see it go by. So
it's one of those attractions where there's no, I mean, it's building something for the first time. So you don't know what type of issues you're going to run into until you actually put it into operation. But that's an interesting thing I heard a few years back. Looking for things that you may never have looked for before. When you get off the boat at Pirates of the Caribbean,
right,
you should look on the ground and look for some footprints. If you look real carefully, you're going to find footprints of a peg-legged pirate.
Yeah, going up the escalator, elevator.
Just before you go. Yep, when you go off the boats and before you go up the escalator.
Yeah, it's that little, but they even have like the marks on the escalator thing too. Like you'll see it's a foot on one and then a little circle on the other. So,
yeah, people should, you know, again, these are little things that a lot of us don't know because
a lot of people just run by. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good.
This is something that you might be interested in, Mr. Star Wars. Galaxy's Edge. Mm-hmm. They have throughout the Galaxy's Edge portion of Disney's Hollywood Studios are what they call astromech droid tracks.
Yes.
And other droids. Do you know, can you give me an example of an astromech droid track or an astromech droid?
Oh, well, that's like R2-D2, R5-D4. Yeah, it's my favorite. If you've ever seen my studio, I have like hundreds of R2-D2s in here, so you can't fool me on that one.
And I was thinking of you when I came across this. I said, I gotta mention this to Chris because he's a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
So the tracks that you see on the ground are made from the molds of the original 1977 R2-D2 wheels.
Yeah.
So they actually took the molds and they made tracks there. So that's another thing to be aware of you're.
Yeah. And then they have other ones too. They have like, you could see like other droid footprints and then animal prints and stuff like that. But there's always little things to find. The one I like over there too, if you go by the bathroom, there's water fountains and the Dianoga pops up. His eye pops up like as in the first Star Wars movie. So if you sit in front of that water fountain, you can watch that thing pop up and wink at you.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, they try to be as authentic as they can. And speaking of authenticity, good transition, Mike. Let's go back to Liberty Square.
All right.
There's something missing in Liberty Square. Do you know what that is?
That was there before or?
No, that purposely was not included. And I want to mention that this does restaurants do not count.
What don't they have?
What don't they have in Liberty Square?
Do they not have a flag?
No.
What don't they have? Well, they've got the tree. I don't know. What don't they have?
So again, trying to be authentic.
Right.
They do not have public bathrooms in Liberty Square. If you need to go to use a restroom, you have to go into
one of the walkway in between.
You have to go into a restaurant. What's the name of that restaurant? I forget what it's called.
Liberty Tree Tavern?
No, the other one that's right down the road from Haunted Mansion. Here we go. This is something for the ending.
I know, right?
Anyways, get what it's called, Tavern. There were no bathrooms, public bathrooms in 18th right. century America. So trying to be authentic, the designers for Liberty Square said, we're not going to have bathrooms outside. But we are going to show instead what was the practice back in the 18th century. And if you notice, there's a brown pathway that goes down the center. This is pretty well known. Brown pathway. And what that's to represent was back in the 18th century, residents used to take their waste matter and they used to bring it to the center, and that would go down to the creek, I guess, or whatever. But
down the end.
There's no.
Yeah, gross, right?
That's very gross.
You have to pee in there.
The final bit of information, and I just was reading as much as I can, trying to figure out something, is that if you ever had a question and you asked a cast member would take two fingers and point, go this way, go that way. There's two reasons why they use two fingers. Number one is that those who put together the Disney parks try to come up with all types of rules and regulations that they wanted their employees to hold. And one was to be polite, one was to not be rude. And it's seen as if you point with one finger, you're rude. But if you point with two fingers, you're not rude. You're just showing direction. That's the first reason. The second reason, and I don't know how true this is, but there are photos of Walt Disney holding a cigarette.
Oh.
And they've airbrushed that out. And if they airbrush it out, it looks like he's just pointing with two fingers.
Right.
So
it's probably apocryphal, but it's kind of nice. So,
by
the way, it's Columbia Harbor House. So
Columbia Harbor House. Yes. Columbia Harbor House. So, you know, if you're looking at photos and photos of Walt in any area, specifically, if you could go into the second floor of the American Adventure, which you have to be a special, you have to be on a special party to do that. There are pictures of Walt on a ship. And if you look very closely, you might be able to find one with him with two fingers.
Right.
Is he pointing or is it two fingers without a cigarette?
Yeah. So. Just like they did with Rod Serling in the Tower of Terror ride. Yeah. Got rid of that. So, all right, Mike, why don't we hold on to these other ones? Because we're running really long right now.
We're done. We're done.
Oh, we're done. Good.
We're done. I have the only thing I have is a weekly tip.
Yep. Let's hear it.
It's sort of related. And I just want everyone to keep in mind that when they walk through World Showcase in Epcot, that there are certain signs that tell you are going from one country to another country. There are actually two specific signs. Do you know what those are, Chris? Things change. What changes?
I would say that probably the music.
Well, I never thought of that.
See, I'm like,
there you go. You're a wealth of information.
Okay. I would assume the ground, like the walk paths would change, but what changes?
It's kind of subtle, but at the same time, it's noticeable.
Obviously, the architecture changes, but...
Right. And along with the architecture comes...
The bathrooms?
Well, you're close. We're running out of time, so let me mention.
Yep.
Every single country has a different style of lamp post, light fixture. So that changes.
Right.
And you also want to take a look at the very subtle changes in the trash cans. Those are the two subtle changes. Some people may say, well, the trash cans don't look that much different. Well, take another closer look.
Right.
But definitely the light posts are different. You go from Italy to Morocco to whatever, Japan, I guess, in America. So that's something, another thing to look at. So the whole show Chris, is that what we're trying to do here is trying to give folks, listeners, an opportunity to do things other than just go to the parks, go on attractions, eat the food. There are a lot of things that you can do besides doing that.
Yeah. Make the and most notice of the your, small details and enjoy them. So
yeah.
All right. Well, so that's going to do it for us for today. So on behalf of Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Liopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the parks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.